You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Extension with the Seahawks if they can't get a deal before his self-imposed deadline of midnight. Adam Schefter of ESPN says discussions on a new deal are ongoing in an effort to reach a deal prior to the deadline. Russell Wilson, 30 years old, entering the final year of a four-year, $87.6 million deal he signed in July 2015. Hockey Stanley Cup playoffs resume tonight with four games. Boston and Toronto play game three of their first-round matchup. That series tied at one win apiece. That game coming up in Toronto tonight. The Washington Capitals play at Carolina, game three of that series. The Caps lead the series 2-0. Nashville plays at Dallas, game three, with the series tied at one apiece. And out west at 10 o'clock tonight, game three of the Calgary-Colorado series. That series tied at one win apiece. Bisons swept in Scranton over the weekend. They've now lost seven in a row. They lost to Scranton 9-5 yesterday. Now they open a three-game series in Pawtucket against the Red Sox tonight, 6-0-5. Right-handed pitcher Jacob Wagespack gets the start for the Bisons. Bisons come back home to start a new homestand later this week. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. Welcome to Hour 3. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Going to talk about the draft now that we're just, 10 days away from round one of the draft. And joining us on the line right now is a man who puts together the Our Lads Scouting Service 2009 Guide to the NHL Draft. Our Lads editor, publisher, Dan Shanka on the line. Dan, thanks for coming on. John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. How are you?
Good, John and Steve. Good to be with you again.
The reason why I had the idea to get you on is because over the weekend I just got your 2019 NFL draft guide in the mail. I await this with bated breath every year, and you do not disappoint, Dan. It's a great book.
Thank you very much. Well, we try to ask, we're a little bit different than a lot of people out there. Most our stuff is written by scouts and or coaches or a combination of, NFL coaches that, and so we kind of, got a lot of meat and not too many, we got not sizzle, but meat, I guess.
Yeah. There's no pictures in it. I love that about it. It's all data. It's all information. Not one picture inside.
It's all information. That's good stuff. I got to ask you, what's the most intriguing? Is a lot of drafts, and I guess there's some uncertainty every year. Do you think this draft of the top five or top ten of this draft, is there's more uncertainty this year or less uncertainty about what teams are going to do?
Steve, I think there's uncertainty through 254 picks.
Right.
This is really unbelievable because, so many of these guys came out as underclassmen in January, and you're studying these, the seniors and then the juniors, I think, are coming out, but all these guys are coming out, and you've got to vet all these guys, you got to study all these guys, and I don't know if everybody, teams obviously, they got their area scouts zeroed in on guys that come out in their area and their cross checkers and then the over-the-top guys and everything. But, boy, I'll tell you what, it's hard. When you don't have a book but a year on a kid, I mean, you look at the top two quarterbacks, they played a year. What I mean? And you look at some of these other guys. So I think it's really tough to nail down guys unless they played, at least three years, and if they played four, that's tremendous.
Dan, let me ask you, one of the great things about Our Lads Guide, the 2019 draft guide, is the team-by-team need list. You have the roster, complete roster for all 32 teams, and you go through what they need in the draft for the Bills. I think, like most people, you believe defensive line is a critical area that the Bills have to shore up, right?
It is. Yeah, it is. And, but I tell you, Kyle Williams, him retiring, what a great football player. Loved watching him over the years. And, but things have got to be shored up front a little bit. But, Harrison Phillips, he's a really good football player, I think, and he's going to take another step up this year. But there's, some more needs up front, like you said.
What do you think is the likelihood that that something doesn't happen to the Bills? What's your advice? Because this, we've heard our draft guys say that this is a very strong draft in the middle rounds. What are the likelihood that some of these teams, including the Bills, draft out of that spot in the top 10, pick up a couple of mid-round draft picks, and just try to acquire more picks rather than keeping the elite picks at the top 10?
Well, theoretically, in this draft, it'd be a great thing to do, but you always got to have a dance partner to do it with, and 32 teams may be thinking the same thing,
Right.
And so because it is, like I said, it is a potpourri this year of, you know, you're going to start seeing guys getting grabbed from needs maybe earlier than normal, than maybe just taking the best player and what have you. But, no, I think, you know, the Bills would probably like trade down, pick up some more picks and things, but sometimes you get stuck. And if you're jammed right there, then you got to go ahead and, you know, take who your top player is on your board there. And there's going to be some good ones there, I think, at nine for Buffalo.
Well, in your mock draft, and you do have a mock draft, you have Christian Wilkins, the defensive tackle from Clemson, going to Buffalo at nine overall. Tell us about him, and tell us, does he merit being in the top 10, do you think, Dan?
You know, I really like him because here's a guy that's super smart. He's a four-year guy. He's a blue-collar, hard-working. I mean, to me, he's, you know, we talk about Jekyll and Hyde football players. This guy here, he's just tremendous, tremendous hard worker on the field and just a great human being off the field. And, I mean, you can't go wrong with guys like that. I mean, this guy will give it to you every single down. Alec, you know, Kyle Williams, I mean, you get in there and he'll just and plus, he's very versatile. He can go defensive end, you know, or he can go in. I mean, he'd be not a pass rusher now. He'd be a run stuffer, but he can go get kicked inside and play, you know, any kind of scheme. Because, you know, Leslie Frazier, he's going to mix up stuff up front and everything. He could slide guys one way or another. I mean, if you're in a three-man front, you know, he could play the angle nose inside, or he can go as a defensive end, the four-man front, or you stick him at defensive tackle. He's very versatile. I think. I'm not sure about this because I don't really check out a lot of other ones, but I think we're probably higher on Wilkins than most people, but for the reasons I gave you, because he's smart and a great football player.
And it seems like and you talk about another defensive lineman who now, and it always happens at this point when you're inside a week, 2 weeks of the draft, you start getting other names thrown at the top pick of the draft. Nick Bosa is a guy that everybody knows is going to be a really good pro. He's got a great pedigree, all of that. Is he good enough to be the top pick of the draft? Will he lure Arizona away from Kyler Murray?
Well, you know, I think that's the thing that we're kind of talking about because of the variety of players. If you talk to eight or nine different scouts or general managers, they might have eight or nine people they like at the number one pick, you know, for the right reasons. But, I mean, to me, since there's no, say, premier quarterback or premier left tackle or premier corner, now, you know, your fourth, you know, spot you'd kind of take, and when you look at putting together a team, is a pass rusher, and he is a supremely gifted pass rusher. So he would deserve to go at number one. Hey, he's not going to win any, you know, athletic contests, running 40s and all that, but his ability to use his hands, the slip blocks, to get upfield, to turn the bend, to get around the edge, flatten down, knock off plays, be disruptive on the inside, even though the play's away. Anybody like coming up inside, you know, he can knock them off, you know, make a tackle there. He just, you know, he's just a very disruptive football player. And I think, you know, he certainly deserved to go one. And I personally think the Cardinals ought to take him at one.
We're on the line with Dan Shanka, editor, publisher of Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft. So you do have Bosa as your top-rated player. Our Lads also has a value board, everybody ranked, everybody available in the draft. I was surprised to see at number two a quarterback, and not the one I expected. You've got Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State quarterback, as your number two-ranked player in the draft and your first quarterback off the board ahead of Kyler Murray. Tell me about that equation, if you would, please, Dan.
Yeah, John and Steve, if you remember last year, we were waving the flag for Baker Mayfield way ahead of everybody else. I mean, probably a year before anybody else. And, you know, there's things that you got to have as a quarterback. You know, you've got to be accurate and you got to make great decisions. You got to have those two things. And then, of course, there's, you know, all kinds of other criteria that you're looking at and critical factors in a quarterback. But in Haskins only had 1 year. So that's probably why that maybe I'm not waving the flag for him one step higher. But he is a guy that just got better and better through the year, very poised, very smart, hard worker, very accurate. He puts the ball, like even in his workout there at Ohio State, you know, he's kind of playing pretend out there a little bit, like, hey, there's a defensive back now covering my wide receiver on his back hip. I can only throw it to the outside shoulder of him, get him over the top. And, I mean, he wasn't just throwing the ball on like a line. He would put it where it had to be to keep that ball away from a defensive back. He even did that when he's working in the red zone out there at the receiver foot lace pretender. There's linebackers there, which everybody knows that's your enemy. It's not your defensive back. It's those linebackers in their drop. Man, he pretended the linebacker there, and he'd throw it right over the top. And so it was really cool to see that. And anyway, I just think he's an ascending player. And in our mind, he's the best quarterback. He's durable. And I just think that, you know, he's the guy. If I was the Giants, I would be all over him at six.
Yeah, that's a good – it's a great observation. He does seem to be more of the type of quarterback you see in the NFL rather than college, whereas Kyler Murray, who looks to be and maybe the top pick of the draft, is not that prototypical guy. Where does Kyler Murray and his abilities fall in this draft? And just strictly values, you know, in the value sense.
Right. Well, he's a true system guy, and that's the thing. His value is where if you've got somebody to run that offense. And but the thing is, you know, incorporating that value, you've got to have some durability. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Kyler Murray in person now. He's a very small-boned guy. You know, I don't care if he weighed 207, all that. He kind of beefed up and ate a couple of lemon meringue pies or something, I think, before weighing, you know. But and then even I think those guys that were measuring him at the combine were afraid to put the T square right through his, you know, mohawk up there to get it flat where it really goes, because he's really like 5'9". But anyway, he's a tremendous athlete. But I mean, Steve, you're an exception. I mean, you see, you firsthand when you get hit. It's like a Mack truck running you over, and I just don't think he can hold up physically. And, I mean, he's going to get hit. If you're a 5'9", 5'10 quarterback, I mean, one of the greatest of all time, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people's opinion, was Doug Flutie, you know. And Doug, you know, and it's a different ball game now, and things are a little more wide open. But, you know, Murray, he didn't throw to – his receivers are all wide open. I tell you what, you could almost count on one hand how many tight windows he threw into. And when he did, it was a bad decision because usually a double or triple covered, and he just threw it up there to a receiver, hoping his receivers would make the play. So I just think that, you know, his value is if he doesn't go to, which, you know, I think everybody thinks he's going to go to Arizona. But, I mean, I wouldn't take him there, but that's up to Arizona. They make a lot of decisions on first-round draft choices aren't very good, so... That might be another one. We'll see down the road. But anyway, you know, he's probably going to end up falling maybe down to Cincinnati. If that might be his next stop if he doesn't go, you know, go one to Arizona.
Hey, your comments on quarterbacks, Haskins versus Kyler's got me re-energized about next week's draft, and I'm sure many others as well, Dan. Tell us if folks can still get the book, right, the draft guide. They can order it online somewhere, everything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They go to our website at ourlads.com, and there's a subscription little button and stuff. You click up there, and you can order online, or you can give us a phone call at 1-800-PRO-DRAFT, and we'll have operators ready to take your calls and get it out today. So, but ourlads.com, and, you know, it's a draft guide written. Really, it's for... You know, people that are really, really into draft. And I know with all the Bills fans up there who are great fans. We got a lot of Bills subscribers, so we appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm one of them. Dan, thanks for this. Have a great draft. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Okay.
All right.
Dan Shanka, editor-publisher of Our Lads Guide to the NFL Draft. The 2019 NFL Draft Guide is available. Got it in the mail over the weekend. You can go to ourlads.com for more information on that. I meant it when I said his take on Haskins – and Kyler Murray, and where we're at with that kind of gets me, not that I was losing interest in the draft, but for since the combine, end of March, everybody's considered, well, Kyler Murray goes number one to Arizona, so the draft starts after that. But people are kind of backing off that, Steve. In fact, Daniel Jeremiah, Move the Sticks on Twitter, had a really interesting tweet. He is an NFL Network draft expert. We had him on the show down there in at the combine, and he wrote this today. April 1st, confidence meter. Kyler Murray will be the first overall pick, 90% confidence. 2 weeks later, April 15th, confidence meter. Kyler Murray will be the first overall pick. Now he's just 60% confident. People are thinking of other options other than Kyler Murray to Arizona, which I find very exciting.
I do too. I'm a coin flip right now as to whether he goes first or not because of all the reasons that Dan Shonka just articulated. He's 5'10", 190 pounds, 195 pounds. He is a system quarterback through and through. There's just even Cliff Kingsbury will tell you. I mean, that's the reason he was associated with Kyler Murray months ago is because he runs a system that Kyler Murray is very good in. Kyler Murray is a, you know, his production, even the Heisman Trophy, that they had a system with some players in place. In the NFL, the system doesn't win, the players win. The coaches who put their players in a spot to do what they are gifted to do all the time or more often than not are the coaches who win. It's not about you run. Chip Kelly with the Philadelphia Eagles found that out very quickly. He was going to run his system. He said it was culture and all that was, and his system were more important than the talent. That's why he's trading great players like LeSean McCoy and doing some of the stuff that he did. It's not. It's getting the best players on the field, putting a system around them that allows them to do what they do best. It's not going to change. It's just the reality of what happens when you get this many guys on a team playing a sport of this nature that is this complicated. You can't win with a system with one guy who's built to run it. You have to have, you know, everybody on the offense. You got to have 26 guys who are running it and built for it and in it. And you got to have a backup quarterback that can run it. And you've got to hope that there's no defense that can defend it, no matter what they do. Unless you can – because, listen, if a system was going to win, people would be – everybody would be running that system. There are problems with every system. You've got to be able to go three wide, two wide, pack it in with – go heavy, go wide, go unbalanced, run the ball, throw the ball, short pass, long pass, intermediate pass, outside the numbers, screen passes, bubble screen passes – all of that stuff has got to be in your arsenal. If you're running a system, some of that stuff's not in there. You're going to be limited. And if you're limited, you're predictable. And it's not going to work. That's why a guy like Kyler Murray, guys like that, who can't do everything or enough things, are going to be suspect until they prove them otherwise. Now, I'm not saying Kyler Murray won't be that guy, but it ain't been done before.
The reason that resonated with me, Daniel Jeremiah's tweet, about how things have changed in 2 weeks. Look, maybe things haven't changed. But yeah. We don't know, right? But 2 weeks later, everybody who was spot-on certain that Kyler Murray would go number one overall to Arizona, some of the same people and I are like, well, I don't know. It happens every year, right? And it may happen in the next 10 days before the draft. It may happen. People get different ideas in their head. They watch more video. There's nothing else going on. So that could happen again over the next 10 days. The other thing that he mentioned, he's got the Bills at 9 going with Christian Wilkins, the 300-pound defensive tackle from Clemson, who certainly would fill a need for the Bills. What he said about Christian Wilkins, though, I think what got me thinking, like, maybe he is the Bills guy. I'm reading now in our lad's description of Christian Wilkins. He is a winning football player that makes others better and will be a defensive coordinator's favorite, most versatile toy. There's that, the versatility, which this Bills coaching staff has always seemed to put a premium on, you know, position flexibility. They may have that. As Dan Shonka said, this guy can play some defensive end too. And there's also what Shonka said about his attitude and his approach to the game, which sounds like it's tailor-made for what McDermott and this group is trying to build here in Buffalo. Didn't it? Didn't you hear that?
It sounded like he was absolutely the kind of guy that they want on their roster. The kind of, you know, the Tremaine Edmonds and the Josh Allens and Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyers, you know, Kyle Williams kind of guys, Lorenzo Alexander. Sounded like he fit right into that, did Christian Wilkins. And let's face it, he plays that right position. He plays the right spot, you know. Brian Billick, the Super Bowl winning head coach of the Ravens when they won it in the year 2000, said this: when you're going into the draft, need is a terrible talent evaluator. When you really need a guy, you tend to overinflate his ability. And that's, you know, you don't want to get caught like that if you're the Buffalo Bills. That's why you've got to look at all these guys, Christian Wilkins, and all the others that play that spot, and then cross-reference them to a different position and how good this guy is. So it really is a lesson in discipline and patience as to what guys are there when you pick and which guy really is the best football player.
We're down to about 10 days, exactly 10 days until round one of the draft. We got all kinds of coverage coming up when that happens, a week and a half away. And more pre-draft coverage coming up this week. Mel Kiper is going to be part of the show on Friday. We'll have Greg Cosell and probably more draft guests. You looking forward to talking to Mel Kiper?
I wonder if he was
doing evaluations when you were coming out in 85.
I doubt it. He was probably just a kid who liked doing that stuff.
Yeah,
at that point.
In his basement.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of still is.
he made the industry.
He sure did.
He made the industry.
Guys like Dan Shock.
And you know what?
Else.
And I got to tell you, too, he didn't. It's a lot of legwork. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of conversations. It's work that needs to be done. But he was the first one who really wanted to do it and took it along far enough to. And I don't know. I don't go back and look at this. I assume, probably wrongfully, that he was right a lot of the time. Sometimes, you know?
When he's wrong, it was more fun. But
right.
Yeah.
Or it's wrong when he's more fun. But then also, and I remember the one time when he first started doing it, or maybe the second year he was doing it, was the year that I believe it was Mike Mamula got drafted. Or no, it wasn't. It was Jeff Loggeman by the Jets. Jets took Jeff Loggeman in the first round, and Mel Kiper roasted him, absolutely roasted him for taking him. In fact, he roasted him so bad, the Jet coaching staff was calling ESPN griping about him, talking about him on the air. So it was he burst onto the scenes by taking a stand on guys and was right enough of the time that he's got a reputation for being the expert.
More draft analysis coming up over the next week and a half. We can talk about that. We're going to take a break here, go back to our topic of the day. In deference to what Tiger Woods did yesterday, I want to know from you, what's the best redemption story in the NFL? The best one you can think of. We've had a lot of good responses to this one, right? A lot of people with different ideas, including the New Orleans Saints and Adrian Peterson. That was Chris Brown's story. What's the best player redemption story you've got in the NFL? And, you know, kind of keeping in mind what Tiger did yesterday. Also, we'll hear from Sean McDermott. He met with the media briefly today. We'll hear some of that. Plus, NFL true and false. See, how are we going to do all this in the remaining few minutes of the show?
I don't know. We'll start cutting things out.
We'll have to cut some stuff, throw some
stuff out.
Edit. We're going to edit ourselves.
I'll just leave you more room, and then I can take a day, like half hour.
Wait a minute. What if I? We're going to break. We're back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live. Holy cow, Steve. It's 2:30 in the afternoon already. Where did the day go, Steve?
I don't know.
It's not over yet, but
shooting the breeze with you, Murph, is like no time at all has passed.
It's been a great show. It's been a fun show.
Yeah, it's been a fun
show. A
little
bit of draft.
It's getting to where we're having some content here, you know, with the draft coming up. We got all these people. And we were just talking about Mel Kiper, who's coming on the show later in the week. All these guys are chiming in with who they think is going to happen. And you know, Dan Shonka was great. He goes, listen, there's 250 guys none of us know.
Yeah, good.
They're all going to get
That's
drafted.
A good admission.
You know? And he goes, none of us know where these guys are going to go. Because one draft, if the Cardinals trade out of the number one pick, every mock draft is junk.
Yeah, they're all junk.
Well, they are.
As far
junk.
As predictors.
Yeah, that's
But
right.
still fun. And the draft is going to be fun. I look forward to it. Dan Shonka from our Lions, we thank him. As Steve said, Mel Kiper's coming on the show Friday. Later this week, I believe Daniel Jeremiah, who we just referenced, is coming on as well. And his tweet, I interpret his level of certainty that Kyler Murray goes number one, 90% 2 weeks ago, 60% now. I don't want to get locked into this too, but I don't think he's saying anything about where the Arizona Cardinals are at. I think he's saying everything about where people's thoughts are right now, you know, because we get close and people get antsy and nervous and we're a week and a half away and people aren't sure now about the thing they thought was a lock, a mortal lock two weeks ago.
If no team in the NFL had any need that was glaring, that's what most of these mock drafts try and like pull out of, what the best player at the best position and where these teams are now. But here's the thing. Every team has a little bit of a thing that not everybody's aware of. Like Brandon Bean is saying now, that, you know, they don't really have a glaring need. They wanted to get to where they didn't have a positional emergency for this draft. And he says they're pretty close to that right now. So if that's the case for every team, well, then you should be able to look at that draft board and say, it doesn't matter where this guy plays. These are the guys that should go, and this is the order. That is a pipe dream, because every team is going to reach for a guy at a position they really don't feel that good about. And the problem is none of us know where they don't feel good because they're not admitting it.
I'm just going to say everybody's playing poker.
That's right.
They're not showing you the cards.
That's right.
Everybody, all 32 teams are playing poker right now.
There's like a bazillion moving parts to this thing.
Yeah.
And
And the first part stops moving after the Arizona Cardinals pick their guy. That's one moving part that stops. You know, then there's still a bazillion left.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just goes and goes and goes. And it's fun for you and me because it kind of enlightens you as to what other teams have been doing in the offseason, because you get a feel like, well, they're starting to think about this guy because, you know, they've got a position of need, or they stunk at this last year. Same thing everybody says about the Bills, where they were last year. They still are making assumptions about what the Bills will do based on their weakness or strength of their season last year rather than where they are in free agency and what are the reasons are for some of those problems they had last year, whether it was injury and a guy's coming back, or whether it's just the fact they didn't have anybody to play there, you know, or, you know, yeah, there's a million moving parts.
Yep. Hey, among other things, also this week we believe, and this is – sources telling us that the schedule's coming out Wednesday night, so that'll be big. You're talking about what a good content week we're moving into here.
Yeah, it's totally unconfirmed rumors, reports, and innuendos.
Wednesday night, though, Wednesday we believe night, the schedule's maybe. Coming.
I have no idea what time.
No.
Well, it'll be after 3 o'clock.
Oh yeah, be before. Yeah, that's the way
we get.
The whole league works
no
like
chance
that.
Like that.
Time those guys in Buffalo off the air. Okay, we'll do it at 3:05.
Everything's happening at 3:05.
Fresh off Tiger Woods' comeback to win the Masters yesterday, our question of the day deals with Tiger and his redemption story yesterday, his comeback. What's the best redemption story in the NFL all time? Give us a call 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo 1-888-550-2550. Couple of suggestions. Rex in Tonawanda, are you there now, Rex? Are you with us?
I am here now. Sorry about that.
No problem, Rex. Go ahead.
But thanks for taking my call again. Yeah, I wanted to throw the name Michael Vick into the ring. I think his story, it was a great one. Everybody after his scandal, you know, they didn't want to go near him. They put him in the doghouse, and he came back, and he just, it was just remarkable just how he came back as a player and as a person now doing the reporting. Yeah, he really, that was an inspiration. An honorable mention to Raymond Lewis for his scandal as well.
Yep. Oh, yep. Good ones, I think, both of those.
We've heard those names throughout the show, and you're right. It's Michael Vick going to prison and then coming out and doing the things he did on the football field and becoming a different guy, even a different persona, and putting a and obviously being changed by the whole experience for the better. You're right. It is a great story, and it's good to see something good come out of what was a really, really, really bad situation.
In Michael Vick's case, I think in Ray Lewis's case, and in Tiger Woods' case, these guys were huge national flashpoints for anger, Steve. People were livid about Michael Vick, and that did require a football redemption. He had to serve his criminal jail time. He had to serve his NFL suspension. In Tiger's case, no criminal charges, but I mean, his
personal life was a train wreck.
Yeah, he was a lead story everywhere for a week or two, right? And
he had to have
more stuff kept coming up.
Exactly,
Tiger.
It got worse and worse and worse for over a period of time, and it, you know, cost him dearly personally.
Yeah.
And you know, it was self-inflicted. I mean, nobody's denying that, but he paid a significant price for those transgressions, and in some people's eyes, he still does. Some people will never, you know, get around that. And then couple that with the professional injuries that he had, his career, his golf career, and how that went. There were four things that happened to Tiger, and one of the four things, and I was going to get to this earlier in the show. There are four things that make this redemption comeback story for Tiger amazing. One, of course, is his personal life that we just spoke about, the breakup of his marriage, losing his family, and the years of turmoil it took to get that back under control in his own life. The second thing is the injuries, his back injury. He had multiple back injuries. He couldn't even get out of a chair. He couldn't walk. There were times when he didn't know if he'd ever swing a golf club again in his whole life, and those were real. Those were real concerns. The third is he now has to come back as a 40-year-old, and this is exclusive to golf as to other sports. 20 years after he began this, he's playing against competitors who were inspired to pick up a golf club by him. He's playing against the own legacy of his own dominance of the sport. These guys took up this game. A lot of them, not all of them, but a ton of them took up the game because of him.
Yeah.
And it is an unbelievable full circle that he has to compete at the highest level against guys who were inspired to take up the game because of him. And then the fourth thing is the guy's 40.
43 years old. He is playing the game in a completely different way and winning a major tournament, the Masters, in a completely different way than he did when he was winning in his prime. He overpowered the field. He overpowered the golf course. He won by 12 shots, that same tournament that he won yesterday. He was just unbeatable. He was dominant. Now he's winning with guile, with consistency, and with intelligence. At this point in his career. So he's doing it in a completely different way at this stage of his life. So for all four of those things, his personal life, the injury that he overcame, the legacy that he's now competing against, and his age now as well, those four things are making this redemption story for Tiger really compelling.
On your third point, that's really fascinating. And you could see it yesterday and watching last night, you know, when players being interviewed post their after their round saying, well, you know, I saw Tiger out there with the red mock turtleneck on a Sunday, and I knew what this right. They knew what was coming. Is there, in any sense, can Tiger use that? As a former professional athlete, he's in their heads already, even at age 43. You know, the younger guys are up against him, saying, "Oh, there's Tiger. It's Sunday. He's in his red mock turtleneck. I have no chance here." He can almost use that as an advantage. I get it. He's competing against his own legacy, his own historical legacy. But in some ways, He's got their number, right? Because they know what's coming on Sunday when he's wearing red.
Well, it's easy to say that now when he heard those guys say that yesterday. But let me just tell you that. Let me remind you, it was a done deal in the year 2000, 1998, 1999, 2001, 2002. It was over on Sunday when Tiger was there in the red shirt. They had no shot at catching him, and they knew it. He was dominant. These guys now have seen him play for 10 years off and on. For these last 10 years, sometimes he couldn't play, or he'd come back and he'd have to withdraw, and he wasn't the same player. They've seen him creep back to this point where he can win a major now, but it hasn't been like this week after week thing of them getting their heads beat in by this guy everybody's playing for second place. So I don't think it's the same as it was back in his heyday when he was overpowering the field. Certainly, it's reminiscent of that when they look over there and I even remember it. You know, it's like, wow, there he is. There's a red shirt, black pants and the red shirt. Yeah. I get it. But it's not the same. So I don't think it's the same as it was 15, 20 years ago when he was head and shoulders above the field.
Let us know what you think. Is there a comparable story in the NFL redemption to what happened with Tiger Woods yesterday? We'll take more calls on this if we get them. Maybe read a few more tweets. Time now for NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. True or False, Adam Thielen got a new contract with the Minnesota Vikings, $64 million. Is that a steal for Minnesota? They get Adam Thielen for $64 million. Seems like a lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kicks in 2021. So it takes
a while.
That's the part I think that makes it, a bit of a steal. What do you think?
I agree. That I looked at it and I said, well, what do you mean? I mean, the guy is $64 million over 4 years. I mean, that's, you know, whatever. It doesn't come about for 2 years down the road. And I don't know what the specifics of this contract are. That's crazy to me because Adam Thielen, I don't know if he'll ever see a dime of that money. I don't know if any of it's guaranteed or what. So I don't really know the details of it. But to push it down the road 2 years is a brilliant move by the Vikings because by that time, under current trends, the cap will be raised up more than this contract's worth year to year basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like getting him for free in 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think it's a brilliant move by
true.
The Vikings. I said true as well. I think pushing that down the line, and also another thing that you may as well get used to it. A lot of these contracts, we're hearing it with the Russell Wilson stuff, and we heard it with this Thielen thing. They're talking about, I don't care what the numbers exactly are on the contract, but this is the percentage of the cap that our guy's going to get. We want 8.2% of the NFL salary cap. No matter what it is, we want to be guaranteed at least that. And so that's where these numbers are starting to head to in these contract negotiations. And Thielen's is a very low number.
I was just looking it up. 8.5% of the cap for the Vikings is Adam Thielen. Very productive. And he will count for a lower percentage of his team's cap than Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, T.Y. Hilton, Antonio Brown, Devontae Adams, Jarvis Landry. All those guys account for more of their team's cap than Adam Thielen will. For that reason, yes, I do believe that it's a steal, right? I say true.
I think true as well. I think it's brilliant moving it down I think only because they moved it down the road 2 years.
True or false, Giants face the most urgency in the 2019 draft. I'm going to go true on this also. And it's mostly because of what went on last year, Steve. Well, they, you know, passed on a quarterback at number two and chose the running back. And that need is still there. Eli Manning is still there. Dave Gettleman, who I consider a good guy and a good general manager, has got questions to answer. And, yeah, there's got to be urgency in what they do in a week and a half. Yes.
I agree. Because of Eli Manning, the time's running out for him. They've got one of two things to do, and I don't know what they're ready to do. If they go full in and support Eli Manning and trying to get him all the weapons he needs, certainly trading – Odell Beckham Jr. does not do that. If they're changing their philosophy and they're going to ride Saquon Barkley for as long as they can, I get that, but they better upgrade their offensive line in a way they haven't done. Their defense isn't as dominant as it once was. They've got a lot of issues they're facing and a lot of questions about what their philosophy and what their plan is going to be going forward. And they've got to get – and it's like everybody. It's a trite to say it, but more so than any team, hence this true-false question – they got to pick the right guys almost every single pick. They got about 1,000. Nobody ever does, and I don't think the Giants will be able to either, but that's what they're up against.
One more draft question when it comes to NFL true or false today. The Dolphins, familiar with them and their quarterback issues. NFL.com ran a story about which teams need to trade up and get a quarterback in this year's draft to get their quarterback of the future. One observer says the Dolphins must trade up to get a quarterback of the future in this draft. You want me to go first or you want to go? Can I go?
Go ahead.
Okay. No, they don't have to. In fact, I don't think they should. I think I don't know if there's anybody in this draft who merits a big move up. Michael Robinson of NFL Network said the Dolphins should move up to get the quarterback. He says Chris Greer would be wise to trade up and nab Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins, who has the best arm talent in this class. See, another guy who puts Haskins now ahead of Kyler Murray. But regardless of that, I don't think either Murray nor Dwayne Haskins have the kind of quarterback talent that should make any team, including the Dolphins, make a big, bold move up into the first round. No, I go false.
I think false as well. Certainly they can if they want to. They could go out and see if they can trade for Josh Rosen, see if they can get Dwayne Haskins in the draft, trade up to where the Giants are to get him, or anything else. They could do that. I don't think it's critical that they do it now because this is a roster that's not built to win anyway. It would give them a head start if they do get a rookie quarterback to give him a year behind, you know, to get his feet under him without too many expectations on win losses. I would say it's not critical for the Dolphins at this point. They got too many other needs that are glaring, and they don't want to ruin a young quarterback even if they do get him. So it's not critical, but it's coming on the horizon.
Absolutely. I just don't know if there's a quarterback in this draft that should force
right.
them into that.
That's role. Exactly right. And if they're not sure there is, they certainly shouldn't spend the capital it takes to get him.
And it's going
to
be interesting, the new decision-making group down there in Miami. Chris Greer, been around the Dolphins for a long time, good background, but he's never done this job before, right, as the general
That's
manager.
Right.
Brand-new head coach, never had the job before. I like several teams' position much better than the Miami Dolphins right now.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Including the one that lives right next door here. Steve and I taking a break. We're coming back with more. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Okay, so what have we learned? It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had a good show today. Chris Brown joined us, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. And we talked to him about an offensive tackle. OT, I'm thinking overtime. What? We didn't talk about overtime. No. We talked to him about should the Bills be looking at an offensive tackle for their first selection in the draft. Here's what he had to say.
I don't think you can rule out an offensive tackle early. I'm telling you right now, at almost every position in this draft, with a few exceptions, cornerback, running back, maybe a couple others, the meat and potatoes of this draft, round 2 through 5, is really good at a lot of positions. Guard, tight end, wide receiver, offensive tackle, defensive line. I mean, there's going to be a lot of good picks on day 2 and early day 3. Players that are going to play 8-10 years in this league and have a good career that are going to help teams.
NFL draft just a week and a half away. We'll talk a lot more about it as the week goes along. We talked about it with Dan Shanka of Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft today. He's got the Bills choosing Clemson defensive tackle Christian Wilkins in the first round at 9 overall. Here's what he said about him.
You know, I really like him because here's a guy that's super smart. He's a 4-year guy. He's a blue collar, hardworking. I mean, to me, he's, you know, we talk about Jekyll and Hyde football players. This guy here, he's just tremendous, tremendous hard worker on the field and just a great human being off the field. And, I mean, you can't go wrong with guys like that. I mean, this guy will give it to you every single down.
I don't want to draft him. I want to adopt him now, Steve. I want Christian Wilkins to move into my house with me. No, it was good. Chuck has got good stuff, and his book is amazing, Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft. We had good discussion today. We came in saying, did you see Tiger? Everybody went to work today and say that. And we talked about it, and I thought we got really good feedback from listeners on the phones and on Twitter about where to put that in the NFL.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. Here's why we did it. It's one of those rare moments in sports where you got to try and put it in context. It was so big and so unique and pretty cool by a guy everybody knows.
Yep.
You had to kind of think about it.
It was fun.
Right? Yeah.
All right, tomorrow we'll have more fun. Our production assistants, George Blass, Jeff Colton, Nick Thomas, Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer, Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.